Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com and NDTScouting.com, along with Trevor Sikkema from PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, it is Fan Friday, and I'm ready to go, baby.
We got the announcer voice in there a little bit, you know?
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
It's time!
Great questions already rolling in. Michael Kiss says on this Fan Friday Q&A, do you believe the Cardinals are using the Fabian strategy originated by Quintus Fabius Maximus Viracosis by delaying and finding a quarterback that will last more than four games, thereby creating an advantage that will lead to a first overall pick in 2019? And then he memed a confused-looking picture of his son for me trying to pronounce the last name, which I nailed!
You know, obviously, the dude with the three names that you just mentioned originated the tank strategy. So, for that, we thank him. And, yes, I think that's what the Cardinals are doing.
I have no idea what Michael Kist is talking about, but the Cardinals are probably the worst team in the NFC. Argue? No?
Yeah? It's them or the Giants, right?
I mean, the Giants. I think the Giants could bounce back. The Cardinals have less idea what they're doing at the quarterback position than any other team in the league. The offensive line is in complete shambles. The defense needs plenty of help. They just let go of Tyrann Mathieu. That secondary's got some holes in it. Linebacker group got some holes in it. D-line has plenty of holes in it. Wide receiver is an issue.
Yeah, it's not great.
Just lost
John
Brown.
Now that I'm thinking about it, not ideal.
I think they're the worst team in the NFC. Do you think Tom Savage will win the starting spot in New Orleans by preseason or training camp? Tom Savage, the quarterback that
Tom Savage said that he was down like 17 pounds, so he could come into training camp sleek and ready to go.
I do not care. He is bad.
Hey, you know, Drew Brees on the wrong side of 60, you know?
The Jerick McKinnon deal has to be a J.J. Redick-style temporary salary cap-filling contract, right? Then next year they can get their real guy instead. I don't know what do you pick up on that J.J. Redick parallel?
They signed J.J. Redick to a big contract, I think, and then got rid of him.
No, I don't think that's what's happening here.
No, I think that Kyle Shanahan wants McKinnon to be his Tevin Coleman.
I have so many things to say to that, but
Go on. This is a podcast.
McKinnon isn't as good as Coleman.
He's had opportunities
to prove it for years. This is one where the Bucs were smart. I know I've criticized the Bucs, but
I don't think people realize how good Tevin Coleman is.
They probably don't, but also they also don't realize how Jerick McKinnon is not good.
Do you think Tevin Coleman's a top 10 back in football?
No. Come on, bro.
He's top 15 back.
I would have to see a list, but I don't think so.
I think so.
But now you're going to make me pull up a list of backs. See who's better.
Off the top of my head, I would tell you that I think.
Okay. Get this running tally, okay? LeSean McCoy, better. Okay. We both agree. Right?
Okay, there's one.
Okay. Alex Collins in Baltimore.
No.
Worse.
Kevin Coleman's way better.
I like Collins a lot, but you're right. Coleman's probably better. Joe Mixon, not better yet.
Why are you naming names that don't matter?
I'm just going through the divisions, bro.
Okay.
Le'Veon Bell, better.
You got to hurry it up with this.
Leonard Fournette.
Okay, there's two.
Fournette or Tevin Coleman?
Tevin Coleman.
Wow. I'm not even going to disagree with you because I love the boldness. Derrick Henry or Tevin Coleman? Tevin Coleman.
Pass. Yeah,
Kareem Hunt's better.
For the sake of this argument, Tevin Coleman.
Kareem Hunt's
I don't know.
Better.
No, I would say Derrick Henry, but whatever.
Kareem Hunt's better. Melvin Gordon, probably better.
Melvin Gordon or Tevin Coleman?
Yeah.
Tevin Coleman.
Ezekiel Elliott's better. Ajayi's worse. I'd take Coleman.
Yes.
Jordan Howard, better. He's better.
No.
He's better. No. Oh, he's better, no. Dude.
No.
Viking Dalvin Cook, better. Devontae Freeman's better.
No.
It's no. Devontae Freeman is definitely better than Tevin Coleman.
He's we got five better. Right now.
He's better.
We got five.
Five and
keep going.
Ingram and Kamara, better. Both better.
Kamara is better.
Oh
no,
both are better.
No,
he's better than Kamara Christian better. McCaffrey. I'll give you that. David Johnson's better. Todd Gurley's better.
All right, that's seven.
Seven. It's really like 12, but you're right. He's a top 15 back, probably. I'm probably forgetting people, but that's it. That's all I got. Okay. Okay. Fine. Have it your way.
Oh, I will.
Top 15 back, Tevin Coleman. Okay, Tevin Coleman questions out of the way. I don't even know how we got onto Tevin Coleman. Now that everyone has an ex-Vikings quarterback, where are some of the big-name prospects going to fall? Miami, Buffalo, Jacksonville, New England, Cleveland, Denver, the Bills.
What is this question?
The Jets. Like the big-name, the big-name quarterback prospects, where are they going to fall?
Oh, the Bills, I think, are one.
Browns
the
are
Giants
one.
Are one.
The Giants? You, you still think the Giants are one?
Yeah, the Browns obviously won, and then I think the sleeper is Miami.
I think it's the Browns, the Bills, the...
Oh, the Broncos, too. So Broncos, so it's
Browns.
Browns, Giants, Bills, Broncos. I mean, maybe Jets, but I think Miami more than the Jets.
The Jets have two quarterbacks on one-year deals. They're 100%. They've already they said they're going. They're quarterbacks.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. All right. There you go. Fine.
I think Browns. I would take the Giants almost out. No, not that I think they're out. Actually out. But in terms of the top ones, they've said like they're sticking with Eli Manning, and they seem to be. I don't know.
Nah. No. No. No.
You still think they're going to draft a quarterback? I hope. I think you're. I think they should.
I think they should.
Yeah. I think it's Cleveland, Denver. The Jets and the Bills are the four most likely teams to take a quarterback. The Giants and the Dolphins are the wild card. If you want an extended wild card, it's the Cardinals or the Saints. Not New England. I mean, unless they sit there and take like Rudolph or something in the back end, like whatever. Not Jacksonville. Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback first round. That's my thoughts.
No, I don't think so either. You're right.
Do you think some of the running back contracts we've seen so far, Jerick McKinnon, for example, helps Bell's case for getting the contract he wants? I mean, Bell already the Steelers have already offered to make him the highest paid running back in the league by far. He wants more than that, even you know. So it just gets to ridiculous. Bell's just got to either wait for a bad team with tons of space to pay him a gazillion dollars, which is definitely possible. Some team will give him that. A bad team probably, or. Except the fact that he can still be the highest paid running back by far in the NFL and sign with a good team and have a memorable rest of his career. Those are the decisions before him. If Geis falls to the end of the first, do you feel the Bucs should trade up to get him with two and fourth rounder, with a second and fourth rounder? Or do they have too many needs? I'll let you field it.
Yeah, I mean they need a starting running back, so why not, I guess, if Darius Geis is there and available, and I know they certainly are interested in Darius Geis, they're putting him through the ringer to figure out if this is a guy that they want. It makes sense. I mean, if that's all it takes to move up to be able to get him, sure. I'm not sure that's all it's going to take, though, because you're talking about I would assume we're talking about jumping back up into the first round, right?
Yeah, because which...
They're talking about trading a second round pick, so, I mean, it's likely going to cost you... like two-thirds to jump.
Yeah, like I don't know, though.
It's going to cost like two-thirds and a sixth to jump back into the first round to get guys. So,
worth
it. I mean, sure, I would do it for a second and a fourth, but that's just not going to happen.
Sure. So the Bucs are definitely drafting a running back in round two, right? That's a question that we got from Adam Deeb.
The Bucs will draft the best player at every single pick.
They're gonna end up with Nick Chubb out of all this, aren't they?
They like Nick Chubb.
When are you guys releasing your rankings? Probably right before the draft, right?
Never.
We have most of our rankings done in terms of
when
top
I'm
fives.
Dead.
We'll probably go position by position and go through the rankings probably a little bit before the draft. Also, are Rosen's injury concerns enough to let Baker Mayfield be QB1? No, they are not, but thank you for your question, Ray. I just don't know anything. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea whether he actually has significant injury concerns or, you know, I just have no clue. So,
John's not a doctor, guys.
There's a question about two guys I've never heard of, or one guy I haven't heard of and one guy I haven't watched that I will skip. How high are you two on Equanimeous St. Brown? Do you think his game will translate to the NFL? Also, what is his comp as of now? No idea what his comp is. He's a super interesting player because he is very much a finesse receiver in a big receiver's body. And that does worry me some, but he's also pretty finesse. Like, he's pretty good at his finesse game. You know,
so I think St. Brown's going to go late first, early second. Do you?
I think he'll go high. I'm not.
Yeah, I think I've said this before, but I think 24 is realistic for him going to the Panthers.
I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I don't think he'll go that high. I think he goes in the second round, but there's just not many good receivers, and he has some of the more bigger upside of these guys. But my big concern there is that his ball skills are just not that good. Like, he doesn't adjust that well to the ball. He's not that good in contested catch spots. He's not physical. So there are some concerns, because I do think that stuff matters. And if you're a big receiver that isn't that way, I think you could get punked some. So it's like Dante Pettis to me, like, who's actually smaller, so there's less upside. But they're both pretty fairly polished guys, I think. But I do worry when you're not physical, like, at all. There just aren't many receivers that can consistently thrive that way. So we'll see what happens. But I like ESP. I really do. I think his game could translate to the NFL, but that's the one thing I worry about with him. Inverse question, which quarterback needy team would be the worst fit for each of the top quarterback prospects? Oh, wow.
Ooh, this is an interesting question.
The worst fit.
The worst fit.
I mean, Josh Allen in Cleveland's got to be up there, right?
I don't know if that's the worst fit. I mean, Lamar Jackson going to Buffalo just because they've proven that they absolutely hate everything that has to do with mobile quarterbacks.
Well, I don't know.
Like, they did everything that they possibly could to take that offense away from Tyrod Taylor, right?
I mean, no, I don't think so. But no. I know that everybody loves Tyrod, but I just think he's a limited dude. Like, I know that's
okay.
I don't know. I never saw anything. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he deserves to start in the league. I just don't blame a team for wanting to move on. And
okay, yeah, but move on with Nathan Peterman.
No, yeah, no, not with Nathan Peterman.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're gonna draft somebody.
Lamar, I think Lamar in Buffalo would be a terrible fit.
I think Lamar in Pittsburgh would be a weird fit. I wouldn't even hate it. I just don't know that it would work with their current offense. You know, I think of guys like Lamar, who I don't think is going to be great downfield passer in a vertically based offense. So, like, you know, obviously they would never take him, but like Lamar in Tampa Bay would not work. Just trying to think way outside the box for things that would make no sense.
Haley's going to run some vertical stuff though, right? In Cleveland.
Yeah, they will have vertical stuff in their offense. But, I mean, I don't know whether Hugh Jackson's offense or Todd Haley's offense is going to win out, because they aren't the same. So I just don't understand that marriage whatsoever. But yeah, I mean, talented offensive minds when the rest of the crap isn't going on. But so, yeah, from that perspective, that would fit some of the things with Josh Allen. But from a developmental perspective, a developmental quarterback going to Cleveland is like worst case scenario, in my opinion, based on the coaching staff that's currently there and what they currently have in place. That's Sean Geiser situation, like that. Plus, the group has to win. You know, they're not gonna waste any time. They're gonna throw him in the lineup, even if he gets fed to the wolves. That's what they did with Geiser. That's what I just think it's a train wreck waiting to happen. Now, the good part is that they have, I mean, their offensive line, and Joe Thomas retires, and they're gonna be susceptible to tackle for sure. But, by the way, I think that the Browns should trade down from number 4 to number, where are the Bills, 12?
Yeah, number 12 and 21.
And take Mike McGlinchey. That's my new take.
Somebody's telling me that yesterday and said Connor Williams instead.
No. McGlinchey's way better. Will the Chicago Bears draft a receiver? Beers. I almost said the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears?
The Chicago Bears draft a receiver in round one in wake of free agent signings, or is it almost 100% alignment or front seven player?
No, they're not going to... A receiver?
In round one.
In Didn't wake they of, just sign Allen Robinson and Taylor yes. Gabriel?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, the Bears aren't touching wide receiver like at all in the draft.
Oh, whoa. At all, that's wrong. But in the first round, 100% chance that it's not a receiver.
100% chance of nope.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, like, I think they're going to draft a receiver like...
You went all in on that. They're not even going to look at a wide receiver. They won't even have one on their board.
They're going to fire every scout that looked at wide receivers this draft class.
They're not even sending scouts to see wide receivers in next year. It extends beyond this season. No, they have Kevin White still, what's left, the corpse.
Cam Meredith.
Not even 5 games in his NFL career, Kevin.
Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, Trey Burton.
Why are you naming guys that aren't wide receivers?
Because they're not going to draft a receiver.
At all?
I mean, maybe like day three.
That is, they could draft one day too, but they're going to draft a receiver. I will stake something on it. We got to come up with a bet. Just another bet scenario.
All right. We got to like actually legitimize the bet though. I don't think
they're going to draft a receiver. Maybe two.
Jeez.
Kevin White's probably not making this roster. I have no idea what Cameron Meredith's situation is. Josh Bellamy's back, but he's not a guy who keeps you from drafting anybody. They've got Allen Robinson, right? And they've got
Taylor Gabriel.
So that's
if they don't believe in Cam Meredith, then okay, maybe I see that. But
even if Cam Meredith's there, that's three guys for sure. Then you have Bellamy and Kevin White who have to earn their
okay, keep. But then you're drafting depth guys, right?
Well, but you're drafting them. You're drafting wide receivers. Drafting them. They're drafting one. How does the Carlos Hyde signing affect the Browns draft? Yeah, this is interesting. This person asks how high
not at all
of left tackle becomes for them since Thomas retired. I think it's a big need for them left tackle. I think Chris Hubbard was signed. He was better on the right side than he is on the left side from my watching of him in Pittsburgh. And so I think it is important that they prioritize left tackle. I would go get the best one in the draft. They don't have a lot on their needs. I'd trade down to get some more picks. You can address the secondary with those picks, and you can take the best left tackle in the draft at number 12. That would be what I'd do. The Carlos Hyde signing does affect the Browns' draft strategy because it takes the pressure off them needing a running back right away.
Is it affect or effect? Go.
It is E-affect. E-effect.
This isn't EA Sports, all right? You got to give me one or the other.
I'm saying impact. It's affect with an A, by the way, but
all right, he got it, folks.
I know I'm hashtag smart. It's my burden to bear. The Carlos Hyde signing does impact impact because I don't want you to open your mouth again. Does impact the Browns draft strategy because it takes pressure off of them to need a running back. I think,
sure.
You know, this is not a pull anymore.
I think it takes pressure off. I don't think it would hinder them from taking a really good running back prospect, though.
I think it takes Barkley off the table. If we got to go one way or another, no. I don't think it's decisive.
No.
But I think I don't think Barkley would be the pick. I think they'd rather trade down a four or take somebody else. I don't think he's like off their board.
I don't think this takes Barkley out of the equation at all. Hmm. But I don't know if they were ever considering Barkley at four.
Isn't Hyde getting like $5 million a year? That's pretty good. Yeah,
but like
money.
Running back contracts, you can get out of them any single year you want, basically.
Oh, so all running back's contracts are the same.
That doesn't really matter. But I don't even know. I don't know if the like Barkley at four talk was real. The Barkley at one talk was never real.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
So
glad hopefully we've moved on from that. We'll see. I would love to hear your thoughts on these day three guys. Matt Linehan, fake name. Just kidding.
Don't know.
Quarterback from Idaho or something like that, I think.
Don't know him.
Daryl Williams from LSU. Alan Lazard, hashtag not slow Alan Lazard. and Dorrance Armstrong. I've watched very little of Armstrong. Wasn't impressed with what I saw. I watched him in 2016. Wasn't impressed. I heard he got worse this year, so probably won't be impressed. Alan Lazard, I thought was like day three undraftable on tape, and but he does do some, one thing really well, which is catch the ball in the red zone. Then he ran faster than anyone, including NFL teams, thought he would run.
So, Alan Lazard is future Tampa Bay Buccaneer, by the way. Big hashtag team big catch radius.
That's true, but where are they going to play him? I mean, they got like
it, no, it doesn't receivers. Matter. They're just getting that dude on the roster.
All right, sounds good. Darrell Williams I like as a day three back, but he tested like horrible, like certified butt cheeks.
All right, So, I just didn't think that he had – I don't think he's athletic enough.
You don't think he has the juice?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I thought he had enough on tape, but the combine definitely has me a little bit hashtag shook. Wyatt Teller had a good combine and nobody is talking about it. Can you give your thoughts on the player? I thought he was terrible in Mobile. Great hair. Thought he was terrible in Mobile. On tape, apparently, he was great in pass
pro. I didn't really notice him in Mobile, so I can't really –
It's probably because you were blocking out the badness.
Yeah, maybe. Good.
He was getting whooped in pass pro, but I think on tape from the little bit I've seen, I think he's impressive. I know Joe Marino and Cal Krabs both like him, I think. I think he'll be a solid player in the NFL. I mean, I got to get to his tape fully and give your full evaluation on him, but from what I've seen, I think that those drills in Mobile can be slanted to the defense a lot of the time. With a league based on speed nowadays, is it odd the Bucs have been trying to get bigger and slower along the defensive line? That is odd. That's very odd.
Here's the problem with the Bucs. Everyone likes to say that their pass defense is bad. The Bucs were the seventh worst team in the NFL in terms of rush yards per attempt given up last year. Yeah. If you can't stop the run, no matter how fast the league is getting, no matter how spread out is getting, if you can't stop the run or somewhat control the line of scrimmage with at least three or four guys, you're going to lose most of your NFL games because the other team is just going to control the game too much, and you're putting it way, you're putting yourself way behind the eight ball. So what the Bucs are doing is they're obviously trying to get bigger up front to where if they want to switch to a 3-4, they can, and they can still control the line of scrimmage with just three down linemen. And be able to be creative with how they look. I laugh at creative, but creative at how they do things behind that. So, yeah, the league is getting faster, obviously. But I know people wanted the Bucs to get sexier on the edge and with their secondary.
What's sexier than Bo Allen? Not much.
But it just like they can't. They can't stop the fundamental part of football right now. And if you can't do that, you can't get into the rest of your stuff. So that's why you're seeing them sign bigger defensive linemen.
Well said. Do the Bills make another move up the draft board for a quarterback, or do they stay at 12 and hope for a slider?
No, they're 100%
move up. 100%
not
move
a chance.
Up. Yeah.
Not a chance.
100% move up.
Bet your house, bet your wife on them moving up.
Bet your wife?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if you win, you get two wives. There, that's how it goes, right?
I don't know that that's how it would work.
Oh, okay. I might have to look into that then.
Yeah, you're going to have to look into that. In Josh Rosen's case, why do people think his ceiling is limited just because he doesn't look as athletic as other quarterbacks and doesn't like to scramble? I'm not understanding how people don't value a quarterback who keeps your team on schedule. You are correct, Christian. It is absolutely ridiculous. We do this every year. People fall in love with high upside but inconsistent type of prospects at a position that requires consistency, and they value things, traits like arm strength and size and athleticism instead of the traits that really matter for quarterback play. So we have a bad habit in the draft community to take players who are polished and close to being finished products and act like they're capable of less than guys who have bigger physical tools, because the reality is rarely do those guys, especially a quarterback, develop into what you need them to be. And if they're not what you need them to be already, there's typically a pretty good reason for that. And it's because they ain't going to get there. So yeah, I'm taking finished products at quarterback all the way. Do you honestly think Chubb is a lock for the Colts if they stay out, or do they go Nelson to try to keep Luck off of his deathbed? I don't think anything's a lock. But man, if they don't get a pass rusher early, that I don't know whether they're going to get one. That's why it would have been great to see him go out in free agency and fortify the offensive line. But yes, that's not happening. Good luck, Andrew. Good luck. Who, I hear you love March Madness. Who is your team and who is in your Final Four? My Final Four. This was as of, well, I'm still praying about whether Gonzaga should be in it or not because we're recording this before the tournament actually begins. But I have Gonzaga and Arizona on the left side, and I have Villanova and Michigan State on the right side. And Michigan State winning it all over Gonzaga.
I have I have Cincinnati versus Xavier, and I have Villanova versus Duke. Duke versus Cincinnati. Duke wins.
Duke's going to lose in the second round. Still true. If you are the nope. Steelers, who do you fear most in the AFC in 2018 and 2019?
Fear.
You fear no one.
That's just a funny way to say, who do you fear? It's whom, by the way.
Whomst do you fear in the AFC in 2008 and 2019? Still New England. Yes, New England. Well, you don't fear anyone, but New England. Jacksonville's probably going to be a threat. Kansas City could be a different type of threat now with Patty Mahomes. So probably one of those three teams. With wide receiver no longer in need, what position would make the most sense to draft for the Chiefs? Second round, number 54. I'm feeling cornerback or edge. Yes, cornerback in my opinion. Or
yeah, that's got to. It's got to be one of the two.
Yeah, wide receiver's not a need. Linebacker's not a need. The O-line's pretty solid. I'm trying to think. Feel like cornerback or safety because they got rid of Ron Parker and Eric Berry's had a lot of wear and tear. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're okay at pass rusher. I think D Ford's going to bounce back and have a nice year. D-line also needs some help. Do you think that the Redskins will be able to get Ronald Jones or Sony Michel with their second round pick? Where do the Redskins pick in the second round? Redskins.
Ronald Jones, maybe. Maybe Sony Michel. That's it. It's
well, Sony again, Michel's going to go ahead of Nick Chubb, so that will be.
No, you're pushing it on either, though.
44. I think. This is pick number 40, 44.
Yeah, you're pushing it.
Ronald Jones will be available.
Yeah, you're really pushing it, though.
Well, you might be pushing it. I'm not pushing it.
Okay.
Why do these Bills fans talk like they got the number one pick in the draft? They on Twitter arguing. about which quarterback they're going to take. The wrong there, by the way. My at Browns are willing to talk part with four, but Bills hashtag Bills have to give up Tre'Dae White for starters. Not to mention the two firsts. First is capitalized, and it's the word spelled out.
That's not happening.
The first comment to that, good thing you're not a GM.
Well, I mean, if he was a GM and that price was there, he'd be a great GM.
That's very true. Deepest position in this year's draft? Running back.
Running back, right?
Yeah, running back, yeah.
Running back or interior defensive lineman?
Which day three quarterback is most likely to be a solid 10-plus year backup in the league?
Case Litton.
No, probably Laletta. Laletta's so safe, man. Teams are going to love it. Oh, my gosh. He can be a spot starter. If we throw five-yard passes, he'll be fine.
Hey, Jared Goff's doing it, baby.
Who?
Jared Goff.
You watch the Ravens offense and think that Jared Goff is completing only 5-yard passes?
NFL draft, the Locked On NFL draft listeners, remember.
This is fireable.
When I said
fireable,
I would have gone up to McVay last week, and the first thing I would have told him is, when are we moving on from Sammy Watkins so we could start Josh Reynolds? And it happened.
Yeah.
It happened.
What does that have to do with the bombshell you just dropped that just dismissed the fact that Jared Goff was one of the best deep passers in the league last year?
No, he's a system guy.
This is your pre-draft bias against Jared Goff.
Nah, that's coming to life. He's a system guy.
No. On the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, we need to admit the 1 to 2 times every 10 years that we've been wrong.
I couldn't be me.
Never missed.
Being wrong or admitting I'm wrong couldn't be me.
Never missed on a prospect, the Locked On NFL Draft. That's it. That's your Fan Friday show. That's your questions. We got your answers. Hopefully you liked them. If not, too bad. We'll be back on Monday. We've got tons of free agency stuff to talk about, how it affects the draft, how it affects different team strategies, and we've got a pretty cool project that we're launching pretty soon, too, that I think you guys are really going to like. So until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.